were seen. And I said, nice dogs. And the guy said, I'm a little embarrassed. They both are champions and have won several dog shows. But I've had to recently shave them because where I'm at, I have this large vat of molasses that I'm rendering. And uh-huh. in the process of it, he said, I turned my back and I heard splop, splop. And he said, and I turned around and there were my champion Springer Spaniels that had jumped into this vat of molasses. So anyways, that was my kind of thing off the scene, the Springer Spaniel. I just had to tell you that quick little story. But I love this clip because it really does express very well the story of freedom and that we don't take that for granted, the freedoms that we have. And I love what he says about we don't have to agree on everything as well, and I just think that that's excellent. When we first moved out here, my wife and I, a little over 13 years ago, we heard this call from a church in the Wilsonville area, and they said that they were in Oregon, in the Willamette Valley in Oregon, and I'm hearing this. And so I had to stop and think. I said, Oregon, is that above Washington or below? I think Oregon is up in the northwest as far as you can go, and then Washington, and then I think, isn't Nevada in there somewhere? So it shows my geographical illiteracy about the northwest. It's interesting because I was talking to someone about Michigan just the other day, and they didn't know that Michigan has two peninsulas, the lower peninsula, that's shaped like a mitten, and they say that, you know, the great spirit God had rested his hand upon the earth, and that gave the mitten shape of Michigan. And after, and he was, it's an old Indian Chippewa, Ojibwe story, and the upper peninsula is the shape of a rabbit, and he was actually hunting, and he laid his rabbit down and leaned on the earth to look over to see over the edge of the earth. And so there's an upper peninsula, and there's a lower peninsula. So my story here that I have for you, for those of you that may be geographically a little bit geographically illiterate about the Midwest and Michigan having a lower peninsula and an upper peninsula that has a span between it in the Great Lakes of over 5 miles of bridge, the longest bridge in the United States. Anyways, so in the northern part of the lower peninsula of Michigan, there's a small town up in that area called Harrison. Harrison, Michigan is called the gateway to the north, as anyone passing through Clare County up Interstate I-75 passes through Harrison. Many families, including mine as well as my wife's, were raised on adventures each summer, camping in the north woods of such places as Harrison. Now, for those of you that may have never camped in the Midwest, you're truly missing something. We have not only the heat that you all have out here, that we have out here, but we also have humidity to add to that. So we have about 90% humidity, so that when you're sitting, you want to get a naugahyde seat and have no shirt on so that your back will stick to it and you peel off as you sit there and drift wet. It's a lot of fun. And if you're camping in the Northwest, Vince knows this very well. You get to experience great things like not only fireflies dancing in the night, but you also probably won't see the fireflies because of the hordes of mosquitoes that will cover you. You have black flies if you don't have mosquitoes. And then if you go swimming, you have things like swimmer's itch, which is a skin rash from a microorganism that drills underneath your skin. And you also have things along your waistband called chiggers that will itch and pick and bother you. So it's a great place to live, and it's a great place to grow up as a child, experiencing all these wonderful things like drinking well water out of the pump well and getting sick and getting the diarrhea. So it's a great place, and we've spent many years up in this area there. Many times as a young boy, my family camped at Harrison State Park, a beautiful park with a beautiful beach on Bud Lake. And Bud Lake is one of the few lakes that they actually have tiger muskie in the lake that might grab your foot or something. I met my wife Kay when I was 20 years old and she was 19. Little did I know that her family often camped at that very same park through the summer months. Who knows? You think about that meeting your life mate thing? I may have been camping next to or swimming on the same beach as my future life mate. And that's kind of a neat thing for me to think about as a little boy seeing this little girl. I still have today a small wooden plaque with a picture of a ring-neck pheasant decoupaged on this piece of log, cut, sliced off. You may have seen those things from the resort areas. And on it, it says at the bottom of it, Harrison State Park. It hangs in my bedroom at our home in Cambia. I've had it many, many, many years. And it reminds me of where I come from. My mother is from Harrison. She's from Clare County, and Harrison especially. And so she grew up in that area. And I was trying to think as I was putting this together, I wonder where my mother was born, but I really don't even know where she was born. That's terrible, isn't it? Better than that, my father always dreamed of owning a cabin in the northern reaches of Harrison. It was one of his dreams his whole life. So he bought a small lot for a few hundred dollars, just this small city-type lot in the middle of all of this camping and resort area. When my father died, I inherited the problem. I mean the property. So we continue to pay like $16 a year on taxes on that lot. I own property in Harrison. If any of you would like it, just see me after the service today and we'll work out an arrangement where you can own the property in Harrison, because it's more of an albatross around my neck than it is a blessing. Anyone passing through Harrison during the 1940s or 50s would be very familiar with a man who lived in the Harrison area by the name of Spikehorn Meyer. Most people knew him simply by Spikehorn. Spikehorn was an old relic of a wilderness adventurer or mountain man, where there were no mountains, because Michigan doesn't have mountains, or could you say maybe swamp man? Spikehorn had a place just off the highway and came up with an idea to bring in a little income for himself from all of the Northwoods tourists, people coming up from the southern cities like Detroit and Flint and Saginaw. In the early spring, when bears were still groggy from their winter hibernation, coming out of their den with their cubs, Spikehorn kidnapped the occasional cub from its mother. He then raised the cub on a bottle, making it dependent on him, not its mother. Then he set up a roadside makeshift tourist attraction, just slat boards nailed together with a hand-painted sign that says, "See the Bear." Through the years, he added white-tailed deer, raccoons, possum, and other assorted animals for people to stop and see, and they'd pay a little amount to be able to see these animals. It became an unauthorized, unlicensed local zoo that Spikehorn created. That eventually brought in the authorities. They insisted Spikehorn release the wild animals back to the wild. In fact, he got in such battles over this with the DNR, Department of Natural Resources, it would be like equivalent to out here, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, ODFW. He eventually brought in all kinds of problems as that happened. Towards the last, he had a bear that he had raised on soda pop and candy, and that was part of the issue. He didn't feed these animals really what they were supposed to eat, and bears love soda pop and they love candy, so he just let this bear gorge on soda pop and candy. In fact, there was this little trough thing. You could buy a bottle of pop and slide it down through this pipe and it would go in, and the bear would lay on his back and unscrew the cap of the bottle and gorge on this orange soda pop, and you'd watch the bear just rot his teeth out more and mess up his pancreas with all the insulin issues and all that kind of stuff bears deal with. But he had a bear that was rather elderly. It lived in the end of a log chain, large log chain, with a sturdy leather collar around its neck. It would walk in a circle at the end of the chain day after day after day, and you could go up there and pay and see the bear, and see this bear trudging in a huge circle, large circle, round, and it had made a rut in the ground that was over, probably 18 inches deep in this trek that it would walk around and around in the circle day after day. It had worn a circle in the path and trail around its iron stake driven into the ground. It had been walking the same track for years. When the Department of Natural Resources came in, they forced Spikehorn to release the bear. Spikehorn fought the officials with the popular opinion weighing in his favor. Leave the old guy alone. Eventually, Spikehorn was an old man himself. One day he went into a nursing home and he eventually died of a heart attack. The officials came in and undid the collar holding the bear. Their act freed the big old gray muzzled black bear. The bear was free from his bondage that had held him so long in chains. But the bear didn't know any better. All he knew was walking in the circle, day after day, week after week. But to the surprise of everyone, the bear, once released, never left. No longer tied down by the cumbersome chain, the bear was free to go, to roam wherever his heart desired. But instead, he just kept walking the same round path he had walked for many years. Hours moved into days, moved into weeks, moved into months, and all the old bear did was the same he had ever done. Walking and walking in the same circle. Eventually, one morning, the bear was gone. He had simply slipped away, no one knows to where. Freedom from North Michigan and Harrison. We celebrate the freedom of our nation this weekend with fireworks light up the skies, people cheer, flags are displayed, and parades are watched. In 1776, just 3 short years after Reverend John Wesley left the shores of Savannah, Georgia, our nation was freed from the oppressive rule of the British. Freedom is an important concept among those privileged in these United States. Freedom is also celebrated among those living the deep reality of faith in Christ. Freedom. Because those who were once held by sin's dread snare are now made free by the completed work of Jesus. Once I was bound by sin's galling fetters, now I can shout glorious freedom. I am no longer in the chains of sin that once held me captive. Mr. Wesley used to preach in the streets as well as the local factories during the lunch hour. He then, as any good preacher might, tipped down his hat, took it off, and walked around looking for an offering. The money he collected would be very carefully gathered and counted. He'd walk to the local jail where men and women were held in debtor's prison. He'd speak to the magistrate and say, "How many can I buy out of here today, Joe?" I'm not sure the magistrate's name is Joe, but I just threw that in for accent. Freedom. The Apostle Paul writes about freedom in his letter to the Galatians. The Galatians, Galatia was a region. The people of Galatia had heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus freeing them from the bondage of sin. They had embraced their newfound freedom from the oppressive environment of the very strict rules and regulations of the Jewish religious order of their day, the Pharisees. They had found freedom from that. They had asked, "What must I do to be saved?" And they had heard the reply, "You do not have to do anything. Jesus has already done it. What you have to do, unlike the rules of the Pharisees, is simply believe Jesus Christ is the one and only Son of God. That Jesus has gone to the cross to pay the penalty for sin, that you can now, simply by believing in Him, be made righteous in the sight of Almighty God, your Creator." They said yes. They believed, and it was counted to them as righteousness. They established a meeting together on a regular basis where they heard all of the teachings of Jesus. It's called early church. They began to live by loving one another in tangible means. And this early church began to grow. Then a group of legalists crept into their fellowship. These legalists began to warp and twist the simple truth of the gospel by adding things on top of it. They began to add things you needed to do to God's plan for salvation through simple belief. They began to require some of the old rules of the Jewish faith to the new rules of freedom in Jesus. They said, "Yes, all of this trust by faith in Jesus is good. That's a good thing. But you have to add to it something to it if you really want to be pleasing in God's sight. If you are a man, you have to become circumcised, the mark of a true God follower." They were called Judaizers because they added Old Testament rules to the freedom of the gospel in Christ. Unlike the writer James, who said, works is the outward demonstration of a person living by faith in Jesus, they said, works is salvation. They said, guys, you cannot go to heaven unless you are physically circumcised. And the Apostle Paul fought against them, these Judaizers, for the rest of his life. They perverted the gospel of freedom in Jesus. If you'd like to follow along, Galatians chapter 5, we have a short section that I'd like to speak to you about, because I think there are some phrases in here that we can glean some absolute truths concerning our freedoms. Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 1, it reads, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth. That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself." I see some really cool phrases in here that I think are appropriate for us to take with us about this day and about freedom. And I hope that does work for you and that you can see something in this that offers you help and hope in your own faith journey. The first phrase, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Not bondage to a set of rules or regulations, not a list of do's and don'ts, simply freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Freedom to go and do whatever your new life in Christ prompts you to do, whatever that is. Where you were once held by the chains of sin, you can now walk free in Christ. In the Gospel of John chapter 8, Jesus says in verse 31, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in a family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Is there anything in your past life that you have felt pressured to return to? I get a sense of what these Galatian Christians were feeling when they had absolutely been set free, and then someone pressures them to consider stepping back to the old life that they had once lived. And I wondered if there was an addiction, an old habit, that you were struggling with or pressured to return to. Jesus died for your freedom. We've been doing a series here as of late called Christ in You. Christ in you means that you are no longer a slave to what once held you. Praise God for that. For these believers, it was a set of rules and regulations that they were required to follow for salvation, and it did not work. Don't get caught up in what was once familiar, or what was once comfortable, or what was so easily habitual to you. Live a life free in Jesus. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. The second phrase comes from verse 6. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. I think that is one of the most profound statements ever in Scripture. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. I'm confident this verse pulls things into balance. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church of the Corinthians and said, women should be silent in the church. You know why? Because the women who had once been nothing more than property, like sheep, or slaves, had received freedom in their newfound faith in Jesus Christ. So where they had previously been forbidden to say anything in the Jewish worship service, they were now speaking out of control. They could not read. They were not allowed to go to school because they were women. And so, being liberated, they were speaking, but they were interrupting and speaking harshly out of turn. Paul was simply saying that they should wait and learn, then speak when their turn comes. The instructions of Paul are preceded in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in his instructions about that, 32 and following, 34 and following. If you back up to verse 33, you see he prefaces his instructions concerning the church and women speaking with this statement, "For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. For everyone, speak, but make sure it is faith expressing itself through love." We see the same thing with newborn baby Christians. They're so zealous, and they want to speak out, and they need to stop and think before they speak. Not aggressive or angry, birthed in animosity, they need to speak in kindness and love. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You see that catchphrase that's the umbrella for everything we say and do? That's the requirement for all of us, not just women. When dealing with newfound freedom experienced through what Jesus has done for you, the only thing that really counts is faith expressing itself through love. So often, faith is expressed through harshness, or lists of what we think other people should do, or how other people should live, or whether or not people should have their hair a certain way, or their dress a certain way, or their lifestyles a certain way. Faith expressing itself through love is the only thing that really matters. And if you cannot express it in love, it shouldn't be expressed at all. And the last phrase, the most common phrase in all of Scripture, I would think, love your neighbor as yourself. You know why this is a reoccurring theme throughout the teachings of Jesus? Yesterday we had this 4th of July parade at my house, and several of my neighbors came over. I looked at them, and I thought of this verse, and I thought of this message, and I thought, why is it that this is a recurring theme throughout the teachings of Jesus? Love your neighbor as yourself. You know why he teaches us that? Because I am absolutely convinced there is no way you can do this. There is no way you can love your neighbor as yourself in your own strength. You have to love. You have to have Christ in you to love your neighbor. You have to. It's really that simple. Some people try to deflect it with that great question, who is my neighbor? Well, your neighbor is anyone placed in your world that you have the opportunity to show the love of Jesus to. It's that simple. And you know what I'm finding? Your world, my world, is a whole lot bigger than it ever used to be. It used to be that your neighbor was just that guy a mile down the road or that person across the field from you. Today, we have technology to thank. Where you once were only the immediate in your face as neighbors, the guy next door, you now have Facebook friends that you once never knew. Do you know they're your neighbor? And what you say to them and how you respond to them is to be loving. We have a slew of email buddies. I have people contacting me every day that I don't even know them from the man in the moon. And now we've got all this new stuff coming into our cell phones where they can have advertising and people calling us, and we pick up the phone and there's someone else there. I didn't call you. Who do you think you are? Don't bother me on my cell phone. Oh, wait, before I hang up, in Jesus' name. You cannot express love to any of them or have compassion on any of them without Jesus in your heart. Were you once cursed? You are now kind. Were you once hated? You now love. Freedom is the freedom to express love to others. We stood in front of my yard yesterday giving paid for bottles of water to total strangers. And we did it in Jesus' name. When my son Joshua and I traveled over to Joseph's Canyon over in 100-degree weather, we came across cowboys on horses looking for lost cattle. I stopped my truck and said, "You guys look really hot. Would you like some bottled water on ice?" One cowboy looked at me and his jaw dropped, and he said, "I've not ever met a person who would do something like that for a total stranger." He took the water running off his face, sweat, hot, exhausted, red, flushed face, took the bottle and he downed it, and he looked at me and he said, "Who are you?" It's not so important who I am as it is important who he is. He, that cowboy on a horse, he's my neighbor. And I'm to love him with the love of Jesus. And I am free to show him that love. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day of freedom that we can celebrate. And as our nation,